This Sunday, Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane finish their run as the stars of the hit show The Producers. Matthew Broderick plays Leo Bloom, a meek accountant who is about to enter the world of showbiz.
I want to be.
He wants to be.
I want to be.
He wants to be.
I want to be the greatest, grandest, and most fabulous producer in the world. Champagne until I puke.
Drink champagne till he puke.
I wanna be a producer. Show the world just what I got. I'm gonna put on shows that will enthrall 'em. Read my name in a Winchell's column. I wanna be a producer. Cause it's everything. I'm not
unhappy, unhappy, so unhappy. Very, 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 very sad.
I want to.
Matthew Broderick was nominated for a Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical, which he lost to his co-star, Nathan Lane. He won a Tony for his starring role in Frank Lesser's musical, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Broderick also starred on Broadway in Neil Simon's Brighton Beach Memoirs and Biloxi Blues. Broderick's films include Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Freshman, Glory, Election, and You Can Count on Me. Terry spoke with him in 1995.
No, I know that you worked with your father, the late James Broderick. I think your first professional role was in a play with him?
Yeah, it was not a paying role, but it was, I did a Horton Foote play with him when I was 17, and at the HB Studio here in New York.
So he played your father?
He played my father, and we were both Southern, and I was a sort of bad son, a bad seed or whatever.
What was it like to be getting your start in playing with your father on stage?
Well, it was. It wasn't all that easy for some reason.
I can imagine. I mean, people can't learn to drive often from their father.
No, yeah, and I tried that one too. I remember my father tried to teach me to drive, and he would make me so angry and nervous that I remember once winding up on a grassy median between two roads, just in the middle of a field. With him, you know, yelling at me. So
you don't want this to happen on stage.
No. I remember the job was then given to my sister, and I learned very easily. But, yeah, there is something about... He was a great help to me when I was, you know, when I was doing plays in high school. He would be, you know, come and watch and give me great advice. But when I was actually working with him, it was not so easy. And he would, you know, a lot of the scenes were him being mad at me. And he would yell at me with this Southern accent, and it was hard to take seriously for some reason. It just felt like Dad being a ham.
So he'd yell at you in character.
Yeah, you know, in the scene, you know,
right,
brother, you're not taking care of business the way you ought to, you know, whatever. And I would just think, Dad, you know, you're making a fool out of yourself or whatever. It was kind of hard. And I think my total lack of experience, too. But... It was a big, you know, it was a big step. But once I did that one, the next one was all the easier.
How did show business look to you watching your father when you were a kid?
Thrilling. I loved being around the theater, and I didn't even know if I wanted to be an actor. I really kind of didn't want to be an actor, but I did think I'd like to do something in the theater, you know, like run lights or paint scenes or anything, because I just liked the atmosphere. You know, for some reason. And I loved being in the dressing room and watching him, you know, put on his makeup and stuff. Well, it was a little bit like, you know, when you're a kid and you watch your father shave.
Mm-hmm.
It had that kind of romance, you know. I thought it was great.
You grew up in Greenwich Village.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever want a more suburban family life or a more traditional family life than the one you had?
No, I had friends who were in the suburbs, so I used to love going there because they'd have a big backyard and a field, you know, and you could throw balls around and stuff, and I did like that. But I loved, I grew up in the Village, you know, it was my, I loved it. I loved Washington Square Park, which was a little different back then. And I liked it. I had really good friends, and we used to, we found a lot to do. I was very happy.
One of your early roles was in Torch Song Trilogy, and you were in it at the start when it was off Broadway. Mm-hmm. And you played a gay teenager who's adopted by the main character, the Harvey Firestein character. Were you advised against playing a gay role that early in your career, that everybody would assume you were gay and you'd be typecast?
I was a little bit. I had an agent who said, you know, I don't think this is advisable, you know, just because it's your first thing. And you know, he incidentally, like, was probably gay, which is also an interesting thing about the world. But anyway, I was so desperate to work. You know, I'd like to say I was brave and moral and all these things, which maybe I was, but I was also just desperate to work. And I also loved the play. I thought it was really funny and a great role. So I never occurred to me to listen to him. I just thought, no. And now I of course I think it's, you know, it's fine. I don't think people think about that risk too much anymore.
So did anyone assume you were gay and therefore couldn't play straight roles after seeing you in the film? In the play?
No. I mean, maybe people assumed I was gay. I don't know. But I got the Neil Simon job basically from that, which was a straight teenager. I mean, that never seemed to be a problem. I would get some fan mail that assumed I was gay, I remember. But I never seemed like stuck in, I never got offered only gay parts. And in fact, I don't think I got offered any other gay parts.
Did you get a lot of letters, you know, "Dear Matthew, tell us if you're straight or gay"?
I just remember one that was from a man who said, it was from who I had met backstage, and his son wrote me this long and crazy letter, which was, he didn't speak English that well, so I can't describe how strange it was, but I remember it said at some point, "Matt, I am gay and my father is too. Are you as well? If not, perhaps you would enjoy my sister's sexy looks." And it had a picture of this boy and his sister standing in the Mediterranean up to their knees. And he just looked like this kind of chubby, rich boy. And next to him was this sort of scrawny, like Diane Arbus-like sister, you know, holding a soda or something. And I thought, wow, I wonder what her life is like with a gay father and brother, and they're offering her to the straight ones. It was a very weird.
Did you write back?
No, but I kept the letter for a long time. But I don't have it anymore.
I enjoyed you in The Freshman, where you're you're a film school student, and mm-hmm. you're studying The Godfather in class, and of course right. then meet Marlon Brando, mm-hmm. who's got something. Some Godfather-like stuff of his own happening on the side. Was it fun to work with Brando? Is he really quirky in how he does scenes?
We rehearsed more than I would have thought. He kind of liked to rehearse a little bit, and he would work on the he changed some of the dialogue a little bit when he rehearsed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember him when I would act opposite him, that he was just the most lively thing in the world. He's so interesting to watch, and he's so involved in you that you have only to, you know, pay a little bit of attention to him and you'll be fine, it seemed to me. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, I remember in soccer, you know, with the good players, would if they pass you the ball, it goes right to where your feet are, so you end up having an easier time and looking better. And he seemed to me one of those actors that just makes your job much easier, because he's passing you such good stuff.
Matthew Broderick speaking with Terry Gross in 1995. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.